You might like to turn in your Bible, if you would, to the Gospel of John in chapter 5. And perhaps we could look to the Lord in a word of prayer. And our God and Father, we thank you and thank you. Spirit of God, honor your word and exalt our Lord Jesus Christ, and our Father will thank you for all of this. So here we are, your day. Help us in Christ's name. Amen. We are all created in the image and likeness of God. And the reason we are created in the image and likeness of God is because God, before he did anything, determined to die on the cross, the lamb slain, as we have shared. And he determined that. When God created us, he didn't create us like a chicken or a dog or a cow. He didn't do that. All of those, spiders, whatever you want, all of those are wonderfully, wonderfully made for God's creative display. But God, they just disappear, they die. You and I are made with a soul and spirit. We are made for eternity. Dogs aren't made for eternity. Canaries aren't made for eternity. You are made for eternity. That's how you are. Now, having made you for eternity, therefore God could create you, because he had you all set up to be saved, the Lamb of God that died on the cross for the sin of the world, the Lamb slain. Behold, the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world. And our Lord died on the cross. And when he died on the cross, he made it possible for all of us to be born out of the line of Adam, as we mentioned this morning. And all of us are born, and we're in the line of Adam, and we're born dead in sins. But we are eternal. And God died on the cross so that we would be saved. We couldn't be born physically unless we could be saved. Everyone is savable. God didn't create anyone unsavable. We're all savable. Whether they saved or not, that's something else. They need to believe. So, having said that, keeping in mind, you're made for eternity. You aren't made for, your time is just a little blip in the light of eternity. And we're made. Therefore, God, you went to the cross and died. And that made us it possible for us to receive you as our Lord and Savior, to be saved. To be eternally saved. That's true. Now, what else did you do, knowing what if we you made the future? Here's time, and time comes to an end by our death and by ultimately a new heavens and a new earth. Time comes to an end. Now, God, we're made for eternity. Therefore, chapter 5, what did you tell us about the person and work of our Lord? Chapter 5, verse 28. Marvel not at this, for the hour is coming in the which all that are in the graves, all that have died, shall hear his voice, and shall come forth, they that have done good unto the resurrection of life, and they that have done evil unto the resurrection of damnation or judgment. So one way God has made it, A, to exist on planet Earth. B, God has made it, so you're made forever. So therefore, you're either going to go a resurrection. You have to have a resurrection because you're in a body that is condemned. You can't take this body. This body has to be left. So therefore, you have to get a new body. Resurrection. So going down the corridor, what am I going to have? Well, am I going to believe or not believe? If I believe, I have a wonderful resurrection to life. If I don't believe, second resurrection, I'm going to be risen again for eternal death. One way or the other, I'm going to have one. God made me for eternity, and I'm either going to go in the right way and choose God, or I'm not going to go that way, but I'm going to keep going. There is no, all the different religions and stuff, you know, everyone comes to a termination like a dog. No, you don't. No, you don't. Is appointed unto men after this, appointed men after this judgment, etc. So, having said that little bit, over to chapter 11. And the next thing we want to make sure, as we mentioned, and we mentioned our Lord Jesus Christ, we talk about life, and life you can have, you can take some special nutrients or something and be full of energy, but then you have to take the nutrients again to get full of energy. So life isn't like that. We keep eating food and we live, water, we live another day, another day. We aren't talking about that kind of life. We're talking about a relationship, and that relationship is to God, who created us in his image and likeness and died on the cross for us. So therefore, you remember, our Lord Lazarus has died, and Lazarus isn't going to, it isn't a big deal, because death is there. We're already dead in sins, and God saves us, even though we're still in this body. And in the process, Mary and Martha and all the people get all upset about people dying and everything, understandably. And they get upset and whatever. Our Lord got upset because they were upset. And that's where he wept. He wept. And you're looking at it probably right there, verse 35. He wept, shortest verse. If you want to memorize the Bible, say, listen, I've memorized. I have a good memory. And it's only two words. Jesus wept. And God did that. Now, and therefore, Jesus wept because, what are you weeping for? Well, because you don't understand. Lazarus is dead. Our brother is dead. And he reminded them, which we did this morning a little, verse 25. Jesus said unto them, her, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, spiritually dead, yet shall he live. And whosoever liveth, is living, present tense, and believing in me, in Christ, who is the resurrection and the life, shall never, 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 positively never, never die. And do you believe that? That's what they needed to do. But they didn't believe that. They didn't understand that. They just didn't get it. What was the relationship? Well, they have one. Lazarus died. That's right. But Lazarus needed to understand Lazarus has life. I'm going to show that when I bring him back, resuscitate him. But they need to understand that life is a person. It's God. You have a relationship to God. How would you? And when you have a relationship to God, that relationship lasts forever. That's what it does. That's what life is. What is resurrection? It's a future relationship to God that keeps it called eternal life, because you're resurrected to have a body to go with the rest of it, to keep going, because you can't keep this body. So you keep on right on going down the corridor of time. And you're doing that. So he is the resurrection and the life. It's a relationship to God, and that's what you have. And that relationship, and you want to see it, you know it, John 1:12. To as many as received him, to them gave he the power, the life, the privilege of becoming children of God, etc. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone opens the door, what? I come in. What happened? You received a person. You didn't receive three glasses of eternal life. You received a person. The person is what gives you the life, the relationship. Therefore, what do we find? We receive Christ into our heart. That's a relationship. in here, person to person. In the same moment, God places us in his son, and in Christ, we find ourselves new creatures in Christ, and we're right smack in the middle of God, a relationship. It isn't a feeling. It isn't something you give a little bit of and you exercise it and don't exercise it. No, it's a relationship. That's what life is. John 17:3, eternal life is to know God. So, having said that, keeping that in mind, he is the resurrection. That's what he did. He guaranteed your future in an awesome way, in the good way, a resurrection unto the good, not to the bad, because you received him. And that's what you're looking for. A wonderful future. So, having said that, over to John chapter 20. And the whole Gospel of John along with God's Word. And you know it. If I can, what did Thomas want to do? You are very familiar with these things, I'm sure. And Thomas wanted to, he was a doubting Thomas. He was the one, he's the one that said in chapter 11, remember when we did John, he's the one in chapter 11 that said, the Lord Jesus said, we're going to cross the Jordan and go into Jerusalem, and I'm going to be crucified. And that's what they understood. The only guy that said anything was Thomas. And Thomas said, hey, let us go with him to die. That's what he understood. Let us go and with him to prison, die. Let us go across. Here's Thomas. And Thomas is wondering. And therefore you have, verse 25, the other disciple therefore said unto him, Thomas, oh, we have seen the Lord. But he said unto them, except I shall see his hands and the print of the nails, and put my finger into the print of the nails, and thrust my hand into his side, I will not believe. So they're very conscious. He's dead, crucified. And Thomas knows. And Thomas said, I won't, unless I can do it. I want to see those prints. I want to see that hole in his side. Now, first, and sliding down 8 days later, et cetera, next Sunday night, first Sunday night, next Sunday, service every Sunday, the next Sunday night, 8 days, what are they going to do? And after 8 days, again, this disciples were within, and Thomas said with him, and then came Jesus, and the doors were being shut, and stood in the midst, and said, peace be unto you. And the Lord didn't need to come through anything. He just came. How did he get out of that body this morning, as we looked at? Body was perfectly wrapped and never touched. He just left it. How are you going to go when the Lord comes? You're just going to leave it. You're just going to leave it. You don't have to sit there and say, well, boy, got to get my shirt off. And God, you got to finish taking my ear. You didn't finish. No. You're just going to leave and be gone. That's all you're going to do. Just like that. Now, so therefore, verse 27, he saith to Thomas, reach hither thy finger and behold my hands, and reach hither thy hand and thrust it into my side. That was pretty good. I mean, that's a pretty good test. And be not faithless, that is unbelieving, but believing. Don't be unbelieving, but be believing. Don't be faithless. Believe. What are you going to do? Now, we have no indication that Thomas would do that. And I don't think any of us would have done it either. We wouldn't have touched it. We would have just fell down and said, God, be merciful to me. Stupid me. Now, and remember now, those wounds don't heal. We're way ahead of ourselves, but we probably won't get there anyway. In the process, what's he going to do when he comes? Revelation 1:7. I'm going to show my hands. The hole in them. See the holes, they never heal. See my side, you aren't going to do that because you're going to fall. See my side, it never heals. Never heals. And you'll know who made that hole? You did. That's your hand. And that hole was made because of you. That hand. So whenever you see the hand, I hold the right hand, he holds yours. Wow. I want you to know that's because that's you. That's why that hole's there. You made that hole when I went and took your place. That hole should be yours. And is now yours by mine, being your perfect savior, your perfect substitute. Now, having said that and keeping that little bit in mind, therefore, what are we going to do? Verse 29, Jesus said unto them, and by the way, Thomas said, you know, verse 28, my Lord and my God. Verse 29, Jesus saith unto him, Thomas, because thou hast seen me and thou hast believed, blessed are they that have not seen and believed. And that's where we come in. He was resurrected and ascended to the right hand of God. No one's going to see. The only sign he's going to show anybody is the sign of the prophet Jonas. Jonah, an empty tomb. How are you going to show the empty tomb? I'm going to give evidence of an empty tomb by believers that are whosoever's that have been pierced. And there they are walking around. They are those that have believed in me. And they are not like a dog or cat. They're understanding an awesome, more and more, better and better, an awesome relationship to God. We're practicing the relationship. Not whether we're using make-believe, this isn't very good. This is a glass of life, make-believe, and you fill it up and you drink, and every now and then you want to get a sip. I never knew how people, years ago, do you know, Poland, whatever it is, springs, the Tahiti, or wherever the water comes from. I never know how people lived. Do you remember? No one ever walked around with bottles of water. Do you remember that? I don't know how we lived. There were no bottles. I mean, what do you want? We went all day without a bottle of water. What can I tell you? I'm not sure we're alive. Well, so God, here we are looking, and God, blessed are you that you have never seen. You're blessed, Thomas, you're blessed, but not like we are. We believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, according to your word, according to creation, etc. We'll look at that in a second. And verse 30. And many other signs did Jesus in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in this book. But these are written that you might believe, and believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing you might have life through his name. A relationship. It's very simple. That's what all 21 chapters are for. To what? To know him. To believe. 99 times believe in John. Believe, 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 believe. Okay. Now, having said that little bit, and keeping that in mind, if you would, over to Romans, if you would, in Romans, book of Romans, chapter, let's see how to approach that. Chapter 4. Romans in chapter 4. Would you go with me, please, to the end of chapter 4, verse 24. 4 and 24. But unto us also, to whom it shall be given account to calculate, to reckon, to give it to somebody, calculating it. If we believe on him that raised up Jesus from the dead, Lord from the dead. Who? What do you mean, the Lord? Which Lord? According to the scripture, the Lord who was delivered for our offenses, he died on the cross for us, yeah, and was raised again for our justification. Justification means to be declared righteous. How can we get right when we're wrong, when we're guilty? How to get right? Justification. God is going to go and not impute their sin, their guilt. He's going to go and place all of that on the Lord Jesus Christ. And when you receive him as your Savior, you are going to be justified. Because why? He took it all on himself. Nail-pierced hands. He took it all on himself. Now, over if you would please, to get that in a fuller way. Chapter 4, sliding over to verse about Abraham. Verse 3, chapter 4, verse 3. And what saith the scripture? Abraham believed God, and it was counted to him for righteousness. That's what he did. Now, how did Abraham believe God? He believed God, verse 18, who against hope believed in hope that he might become the father of many nations, according to that which was spoken, so shall thy seed be to Abraham. But, verse 19, what made Abraham righteous, justified? And being not weak in faith, he considered not his own body, now dead, when he was about 100 years old, and neither yet the deadness of Sarah's womb. He staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strong in faith, giving glory to God. Now, here's the, you can't. What can you produce, Abraham? What can your wife produce? Zero. How are we ever going to have Isaac? We can't. Too late. 25 years have gone by, all over. God, what are you going to do? God, what can we do? Nothing. God said, good. I had to wait 25 years. So you would be understanding, you can't do it. I'm waiting for you to lose this oomph you've got so that you start trusting me, really. And Abraham can't, there's nothing he can do. And therefore, he staggered not. Verse 21, and being fully persuaded, what did you do, Abraham? What he had promised God, he was able also to perform. God could do it. Therefore, it was imputed to him for righteousness. What did Abraham do? He believed God. He believed God. That's what he did. Slide over chapter 4 and look at it straightway in the process of all the context. Verse 5. To him that worketh not, but believeth on him that justifieth the ungodly, his faith is counted for righteousness. So what am I going to do? God is going to impute. What do we do? By faith. Without faith, it's impossible to please him. So we're going to believe God because you can't do it. You can't do it. God, you created us. We're dead. We can't come alive. Christ died on the cross, and you believe. What? That he is the resurrection and the life. You receive him as your Savior so that you can live. That's what you're doing. Now hang on. Therefore, you're going to be justified. Why? Because you believe God. You're believing in the Lord Jesus Christ, who justifies the ungodly by his resurrection. He makes part dying just takes care of the penalty. Rising again provides something that we don't have, as we shared. We all know what it is to be human in the earth and earthly senses and everything. We have no idea what it is to be heavenly. We just don't know. No way to know. The only way we can know, God said, I'm heaven anyway, God said. I make heaven. So what are we going to do? We're going to believe God by faith. And he brings to our heart all of heaven. Hang on. In a most wonderful way. Now, having said that in Romans, over if I can, Romans in chapter 5. Romans in chapter 5, picking up please, may I go directly to verse 8. Romans chapter 5, verse 8. But God commendeth his love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, enemies of God, sinners, Christ died for us. In other words, we were dead in sins, and Christ came along and died. We were already dead in sins. God came along and fixed it, remedied it, when he died on Calvary's cross. Therefore, verse 19, if God saved us when we were sinners, he died for us. Verse 9, much more than, if he died for us, being now justified, declared righteous by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. Much more. It's enough he died for us. Thank God. He paid the penalty. Much more. He saved you from the wrath to come. He saved you from the wrath to come. Much more. Verse 10. If when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of his son, much more, being reconciled, we shall be saved by his life. Wow, he died for us and took care of the penalty. Wow, that's what he did. And much more, that's good, but more, there's more and more and more. The more, do you understand? He saved you from the wrath. He gave you his life, his resurrected life, the life that only he could provide. Now, having said that little bit, Romans chapter 1. And in Romans chapter 1, picking up, please, in thought. Now, in the process, us humans are born spiritually dead, and we need to have a relationship to God. And the arguments or the thinking of humans like us guys, and we have all kinds of thoughts and about religion and everything. Well, God, tell us. Now, God, us humans, we're born of a mommy and a father and mother. We're born, and we're here. We are on planet Earth. Now, what happens if we mother and father didn't tell, they're Buddhists, they're pantheists, or whatever they are. Well, that's what they are. And so therefore, God, what about that little boy, girl? Well, God, you said it very clearly. It said, are you dependent on any human to talk to anybody to help them? And God said, no. I don't depend on humans at all. No flesh shall glory in my presence. I don't depend on humans. You know these. Watch it, though. In verse 20, for the invisible things of him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power, deity, and his Godhead, power, the deity, so that they are without excuse. They don't have any excuse. That's why. So they're going to find excuses? You can't. Because God told them. And they have everything in front of them. If they live in Australia, they live in Venezuela, wherever they want to live. And they're there, they see the world, they see the sun, they see the stars, they see everything. They know. Everyone knows. We shared these many times. And so don't even think about it. We all know. We all know that a kangaroo isn't God. We all know that. We all know that a big fat Buddha is powerless. We all know that. You have to tell us that. There's a man, I'm a God, I'm God. And then we look at him, and he's just like me. He has eyes, nose, and a mouth. He looks just like me. I know he isn't God, but he says he's God. No, he isn't God. God is God. I'm very keen. God, you're going to help me understand? Absolutely. You little boy, girl, you're going to help. I'm going to help you know. You know that isn't God. Sure we do. We aren't stupid. My parents may be stupid, but I'm not stupid yet. Not yet I am. So therefore, verse 21, because why don't they have an excuse? Because that when they knew God, they glorified him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain in their imagination, thought process, and in their foolish heart was darkened. Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools. Now, what happened? Well, in the process, they knew there was God, and I'm going to beat me, the little boy, I know what they're doing isn't God. I know what they believe in isn't God. What they're trusting isn't God. I know that. I'm a little boy. I know that. And therefore, God, I know that. I'm going to honor God. I'm going to glorify God. Think of Hebrews 11:6. Without faith, it's impossible to what? Please him. But he that cometh to God must what? Believe that he is. I know he is. Good. We're on the right page. My little kid, I'm a little kid. I believe he is. I glorify him. I'm thankful. I'm thankful I'm not like that. They're all bowing down to the kangaroo over there. I'm thankful. That's wrong. I'm God. Thank you. I don't know. I know better. I'm not saved yet, but boy, I'm looking to God, and God's helping me. So therefore, keep going. You don't have to do all that. Verse 25. And what are we all doing? That well, I'm going to follow my parents because no one else thinks like I do. No one else feels like I do. And so you're going to change. You're going to become like them. Why you want to fit in? Everyone wants to fit in, don't you? You want to fit in life, be accepted, not like an oddball. You want to be like them. It's okay. Therefore, verse 25, who changed the truth of God into a lie and worshiped and served the creature more than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. And God gave him up to all the other things that go with this. And in the process, verse 28, and even as they did not like to retain, the word retain, verb, to have and to hold, their understanding. You knew left and right, and you want to hang on to what you know. Hang on to it. But they didn't want to hang on to the knowledge of God. And that's going to go disappear, gonna go as it were. Verse 28, and even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a reprobate mind, unaccepted mind that would not accept, to do those things which are not convenient or fitting. That's why. So you don't have to get overly all upset about people. They either want to know or they don't. They either want to grow or they don't. And do it. And the more we do that, then we'll that's what they need to hear. They don't need to hear that their ignorance isn't too bad and their ignorance is tolerable. No, their ignorance isn't tolerable. It's going to cost them. So you tell them straight away in a nice, loving way. You tell them they need to know the Lord is your Savior. You don't need to know Genesis 6. You need to know the Lord is your Savior. Then you can know Genesis 6. But you got to be saved. I don't want to be saved. Then you won't. And you say, well, people don't want to go to be saved. They don't want to write the Bible. They don't want the Bible. They don't want to have to fit in. Well, they won't. Because God tells us we've got to fit in. And to boot, to add to that, that in the process, God said that we need to be conformed to the image of His Son. And that's what you want. Well, I don't want to go to heaven then. Why? Because you really don't want to be changed. And God said, you're welcome. You don't have to be changed. You can think just like you want to for the moment until the other side of the coin here. Then you'll have to think. But you can play the game all the way to your deathbed. People can do that. Now, having said that, so there we understand. So God, here we are by faith, looking to God to do what He does in a most, most wonderful, wonderful way. Now, having said that and keeping that in mind, if you would, in God's grace and kindness, in Romans chapter 6. And in Romans chapter 6, picking up, please, in thought, you know, in the light of all of being justified, picking it up from the other side of the coin now, from God's dealing with the believing heart. What did you do when you died on the cross, Christ? You justified us, by your resurrection. Remember, God, how did you justify us? You went and took us. Why did you die? Because the wages of sin is death, and we were dead in trespasses and sin, and we had no Savior, no solution, no way to do anything. Romans chapter 6, verse 3. Know ye not that as many of us as were baptized, placed into, identified into Jesus Christ, were baptized into His death. Therefore, if we are buried with Him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we should walk in newness of life. For if we have been planted together in the likeness of his death, well, then we must be also in the likeness of his resurrection. If he took you the first one, he still didn't. He didn't drop you. He didn't leave you. He took you. He took you to A, to B, to C. Wow, that's what he did. And God did that. It's a wonderful thing that you did. Over to chapter 7. And in verse 6, just moving to get the same thought. But now we are delivered from the law, that being dead, wherein we were held bondage, that we should serve in newness of spirit, and not in the oldness of the letter. We're walking newness of life, a wonderful, wonderful relationship to God. We're to exercise that relationship to God. We are wonderfully, wonderfully blessed. And God, that's what you did, the resurrection. You made us identify with your life, with your death, burial, and resurrection. Chapter 8. And therefore, jumping quick, verse 15, for you have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear. Remember, God saves us. If you understand what he's doing, he saved us from the wrath to come. But we have received the spirit of adoption, spirit of God's, to be placed as a son, fully, completely in God's wonderful person, to be as a son in the Son of God, our Lord Jesus, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. Now, that's, we know that. Well, now, what's the benefit, God? You did something. That's right. I died for you, and I rose again. And if you believe in me, you're going to reckon yourself dead, and you're going to understand you have a wonderful relationship to me. I'm in the resurrection and the life. You're going to walk in that life and enjoy that wonderful, wonderful life and resurrection. Life, fullness of life, never to die, never die. Now, therefore, chapter 8, that's good. Verse 16. The Spirit beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. And if we're children, then heirs of God, and joint heirs with Christ, if so be that we suffer with him, that we may be also glorified together. Now, God, what'd you do? I told you, I made you. I rose again. And I took you, I gave you a relationship to who I am. You're going to find yourself, verse 15, adopted, fully adopted in the family of God, in my person, said the Father, God the Father, in whose presence we are. The Father saying, you're a son, in the Son, my Son, the Lamb of God, slain from the foundation of the world. And so we understand that. And God, what have you done? Well, I've gone and made you have a relationship. What kind of relationship? Well, what happens when someone dies? You think of Hebrews 9. When someone dies, then you have to have the death of the tester in order to get the inheritance. You can't have the inheritance while he lives. Now, God, what have you done? We were crucified and risen. Aha. And God, what happened to you, Lord? I became Lord of Lords and King of Kings. That's what I did. And when I became that, you joined me because I took you. You understand I went to the cross? Yes, I do. Understand that when I was buried and rose again? I do. All right. Then you understand what? That I took you from death to life. Whose life? My life. Whose future resurrection guaranteed? Your future person. So therefore, I'm guaranteed this unique relationship that you have. You are an heir. I say it again, said the Lord. You are a joint heir with me. I reign, you reign. I live, you live. Relationship, resurrection. Now, and having said that, and keeping that in mind, over, if you would, to Ephesians. And in Ephesians, well, on your way to Ephesians, Go fast and hit Colossians for a minute. Go to Colossians for a minute, and you'll pick it up. Just to touch it, you know it. So I'm trying to get you, so when you read your Bible, when you read God's Word, be looking. All these things are all over the place. It tells you all kinds of things. If you just pay it, we not to pay attention. Colossians 3, verse 1. If ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Set your affection on things above, not on things in the earth. You don't get hung up down here and all kinds of things are going on. I got to tell you, I just read in the paper, you saw the headline, the current to that. You know, the certificate, you need a license to drive a car and you need a license to live. So that you've been plague-free. You have a vaccinated license, and you need the license. No license, no get like the basketball game. You can't get in. No license. No, you got to be vaccinated. Can't get in. Can't get in. All kinds of stuff. I don't, whoo, going on. So God, here we are. And so God, if you're going to get hung up down here, man, I told you it's going to go. And it's going to go, and it's going to, the people say, well, it doesn't matter. Hold it, it's going to matter. Now, so therefore, God, we're going to look to you. That's right. How are we going to walk? We walk by faith, not by sight. Verse 3, for you were dead, and you died when I died, and you're dead, and your life is hid. Where is my life with Christ? In God. That's where it's middle of God relationship. Verse 4, when Christ, who is your life, shall appear, then shall you also appear with him in glory. That's awesome. That's what you're going to do. That's what's going to happen. Wonderful. Hang on. Over to Ephesians. I'm picking up in Ephesians, if I may. May I go directly to chapter 1 and pick up, please, in verse 18. That the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of his calling and what the riches, underline, of the glory, underline, of his inheritance in the saints. When Christ died on the cross, all the world could have been his for his glory and honor, but they chose not to. For the great majority, they chose not to. God said they all could. They all could. And what are you going to do, God, when you died? I have all the wonderful inheritance. A wonderful inheritance, I do. And in particular, in this age of grace, of unbelief, when the only sign I'm going to give them is the sign of the prophet Jonah, sliding down to verse 22. And hath put all things under his feet, and gave him to be the head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him that filleth all in all. So God, what are you going to do? Well, I'm going to go and make you have a very, very special relationship to me as my body. A relationship that other angels are not going to have. Moses isn't going to have it. And David isn't going to have it. But you, the believer in the church age, grace, is going to have a special place. So, having said that, now, in the light of your resurrection, how can we expect to succeed in it? The resurrection, here we are, we're in your inheritance, we're your body. Therefore, verse 19, 1 and 19. And what is the exceeding greatness of his power, dynamis power, to usward who believe? What kind of power? According to the working of his mighty power. Verse 20, which he wrought in Christ when he raised him from the dead and set him at his own right hand in heavenly places. What kind of power? What kind? God? How can we be his inheritance? How can we be his body? God has given Christ, in God's wonderful grace, his awesome power. And God has given him a position of all positions. Hold your finger here and go with me to Acts 17 for a minute. Hold your finger right here, though. Acts chapter 17. What else do we know about the resurrection? Acts chapter 17, picking up, please, in verse, directly for times, verse 31. Because he hath appointed a day in which he will judge the world in righteousness. Remember, justification, righteousness. In righteousness. By the man, that man, whom he hath ordained, who is that man, whereof he hath given assurance. So there's no question, is there someone going to judge? Yes, sir. Remember, we read it in John 5. And given an assurance unto all men, in that he hath raised him from the dead. And our Lord Jesus Christ is that man. How do you know which one? The one risen. The one who died for everybody and made it possible for everyone to keep on going into eternity in a wonderful way. And that's the one. And he's going to judge you for rightly, wrongly, for heaven or hell. That's what it's going to be. God has every right to do it. He did everything for them, and they chose not to do it. And God never judged anybody by their works, by their behavior, because they were all dead in sin. And he's only going to judge them, as you know, at the great white throne judgment, because of their works, what they do. You'll know what they're like by their works. That's all he's going to do. All you got to do is look at their life. Their life will tell you, where's God? Where did you find God? Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday. Find God. Where is God? Well, we can't find him. Can find everything else, but you can't find God. Therefore, over to Ephesians. And so God, you're going to verse 19, chapter 1, 19 and 20. God is going to show his wonderful, wonderful power to make all of this happen in a most awesome, awesome, awesome way. God's going to do that. Now, having said that, God, you did it. You're risen. He's risen, seated at the right hand of God in a most wonderful way, and made possible. Remember, if you go with the death, if he takes you with the death, the burial, resurrection. Am I leaving? No. What are you going to do, God, with us in this age of grace? Ephesians 2, verse 6. You know it. And hath raised us up together to make us sit together in heavenly places in Christ. How can that be? Because that's where he's seated. When he went on the cross, were you there? Yes, I was there. Think of the hymn. Were you there? I was there. Were you there when he went to the tomb? I was there. Were you there when he rose again? Yes, I was there. When he rises, are you with him? Absolutely. I'm his inheritance. I'm a joint heir. We don't look like joint heirs, do we? But we are joint heirs. Wonderful joint heirs. Okay, so therefore, it is sit together in heavenly places, verse 7, in the ages to come, that's forever, forever and ever, ages to come, he might show the exceeding riches of his grace. He has his nail-pierced hands, and then he has his believers that are his body, that are uniquely related to him like no one else. Wow. That's what it's going to be. Now, hang on. Thus, and verse 7, exceeding riches of his grace, we in the kindness toward us through Christ Jesus. And you want to keep, as you know, Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 3. Blessed be God's wonderful power, provision. Verse 3, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. That's why Colossians 1:3-1, we're looking to heaven. Because that's where it all is. Where's our support? Where's our life? Our life is where? At the right hand of the Father, the perfect humanity of Jesus Christ grants us such access to heaven, such a position as heaven, even though we are here, we're there. And while we're there, we're here, and we're able to capitalize because we're seated. And Christ is there. I died with him. You died with him. He rose again. He's seated. We have a wonderful position. And therefore, our resources are not here based on government or based on any of the things, welfare checks. It isn't based on that. It's based on God's wonderful person. And that's why, you know, all the Matthew chapter 6, you know, the world is busy trying to survive and succeed. They don't have a heavenly Father. Verse 31 and 32, you have a heavenly Father, and you don't need to ever do such things, because your Father knoweth whatever you need. And we're learning, we did all these things, so you trust him. Now, having said that little bit, and keeping that in mind, if you would, in God's wonderful, wonderful way to keep us, chapter 3. God's wonderful, wonderful power. And just to remind you, Ephesians chapter 3, picking up in verse 10. Chapter 3. And, you can go to 10, why not? To the intent that now, unto the principalities and powers in heavenly places, might be known by the church the manifold, many-sided, all kinds of different ways, wisdom of God in doing what he does, when he does, how he does, if he does. God's working in your life. God outworking. We work out our own salvation. Philippians 2:12. With fear and trembling. 4, verse 13. It is God working in us both to will and to do of his good pleasure. And all of that, angels watch. Watch it. As he outworks his nail-pierced hands in your life and mine. That's what he's doing. That's moving down the corridor. God, trusting God. Now, so therefore, verse 20. Now unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask, you can't come up with it. His ways and his thoughts are higher than the heavens. Or think, we say, well, I understand. No, you don't. There's no way on earth you're going to say, I got to put it together, because you don't, no offense, no one has, you don't have a mind to come close. And if you put all the humans together, they couldn't even touch it. Couldn't touch it, no. Professing, think of Romans 1, professing themselves to be wise, they what? Became fools. They talked about God as if there was another person like they are. And they missed the whole thing. Now, so here we are looking, God, and verse 20, power, the end of verse 20, according to the power that worketh in us, that dynamite, that awesome, awesome power working in us to produce. And verse 21, unto him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus throughout all ages, world without end. Amen. So where is this power? We're sitting in the presence of it. As we are assembled on the Lord's Day, we're in the middle of that power, that grace, that grandeur of all that God is doing. We're in the middle of it. And it has nothing to do with any of us. It's all grace. That's what grace, G-R-A-C-E, grace, is nothing of us. It's everything of God. And grace, it means God's doing it all, and we're enjoying the trip and cooperating and trusting and believing and going down the corridor with him. That's what we're doing. And so God, so it isn't up to me to roll up my sleeves and do it. I can't do it at all. So therefore God, glory in the church. Now, Acts chapter 4. In Acts, in chapter 4, picking up if I can, oh, you'll see it in the church, all of those things. Sliding over directly, if I can, to verse 33, in the light of the context, the early church and the persecution and the meeting, what were they doing? Remember, the glory in the church, power, grace. Verse 33, and with great power, there's your word, with great power gave the apostles witness of what? The resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. What is it all about? We're showing the resurrected life of God. That's what we're doing. We are alive and well on planet Earth. We aren't confined to the system and the slavery of everything that's going on. We're freed. The bondage, you're free. You're a child of God. God, you're God's family. You're plowing work, home, school, doing whatever you're doing. And you're different and hopefully others are too. Are saved and you're different. And you're the bondage, we aren't in bondage. I'm not worried about that. The governor of Canada, whatever, the head of the Trudeau, whatever his name is. You heard the thing, problem better than I do. He said, we are in pursuit of the great recess. Great repeat, we're going to go in great recession. I forgot the word even, just as well. The great recession, great renewing. And he's pursuing, that's just a country, but so are we. And so is the rest of the world. It's a global thing. A whole new great reset. A whole new thing, globally, everywhere, all working. I gotta tell you, if you don't think it's gone anywhere, and then I read in the paper the ID card and all that. And they say, well, no, it's never going to happen. Well, listen, it is so far advanced, you have no idea how far advanced, neither do I. It's taking place and going to take place. And they're going to have what? And then you say, well, you can't buy or sell, Revelation chapter 13. It'll never happen. You'd have to think again, wouldn't you? It'll never happen? Man, it'll take years. But it may take only a little bit. Because that'll go just like that. Just like that. And the president will say, everyone, or whatever. Anyway, now, so therefore, the church, what's the church doing? It's demonstrating resurrected life. So we aren't supposed to be here all crumped up and crumbled up and trying to hang. No, we're freed. We're saved. Be saved. Enjoy being saved. Say, okay, get the flu. I could die. How's that? Die, so what? If God wants you to die, you think you could keep from dying? How do you, I can't even get into it. How do you propose to keep from dying? Are you thinking? Think about it, take it to bed with you tonight. How are you gonna stop dying? It's no time to die, especially as a believer. You're done gonna die. That's what you're gonna do. And I don't care. I don't care if you were eating 75,000 vitamins and you just ran around the moon. You're gonna die, that's all. And if you just went and did everything wrong and your body was rotten and you're 98 years old, and God wants you to live, you'll live. How's that? You fall off a cliff, you fall off the stairs, and you die. You fall off the building, and you live. God, you do what you want. Absolutely. Absolutely. Wow. So therefore, closing, over to John. Appreciate your patience. John chapter 17. And what we're trying to do is just understand what God has made possible. What's that? What's the sense of having, I can quote three verses and whatever? You want to have something that's in you, pumping away your adrenaline to keep you going. Otherwise, you get sort of dull, you know, and you lose the zest. And you don't want to do that. Chapter 17, picking up, please. Our Lord, what are you going to say in the light of his awesome resurrection? You know, in my Father's house are many mansions, you know, turn there, 14. And I want you to be there where I am. But now, coming to the end of the upper room, what's the last thing he's going to say before he goes out to the garden and the cross? Verse 24. Father, I will that they also, whom thou hast given me, be with me where I am. Why? Why do we need to be with you at the right hand of the Father? That they may be with me where I am. That purpose, they may behold my glory, which thou hast given me. For thou lovest me before the foundation of the world. I'm waiting for them to get here to see my glory. I've already given you the glory. Christ in you, Colossians 1:27. Christ in you, the hope of glory, is already there. Already there. And God said, I'm waiting to get you there. What were the Thessalonians doing? 1:10. We're waiting for the Son out of heaven. The blessed hope. That's what we're looking for. Christ in you, the hope of glory. Now God, wow. And you're waiting what? I'm waiting for us to get there. Okay. Do you know, many years ago, long time ago, on the Rock of Gibraltar, out there, coming out of the Mediterranean and that, on the Rock of Gibraltar, and they chiseled on the Rock of Gibraltar the Latin words, ne plus ultra, no more beyond. That's what they chiseled. And if you ever saw the old maps when you're studying and history and all of that, and you got the maps of the oceans, and then you see the thing, and then they have the ocean out there, and then they have the serpents and everything out there. You know, the dragons are all out there. And if you go past Gibraltar, you're out into the sea, and woe be, you'll never get back. The evil demons will get you. That's what they had. Now, having said that, time went on, of course, and they discovered that the demons and the fish and everything weren't quite what they thought they would be. So therefore, what did they do? They eliminated the ne and left the plus ultra, no more beyond. They took away the no and put more beyond on the rock. So as you look at the Rock of Gibraltar, more beyond. What is the resurrection? More beyond. What did you read in Romans 5:9? Much more. Much more. Much more. The resurrection is the stimulus for your future. The word hope. Christ in you, the hope. For what? The more. The more. Always more. Forever more. As we go. How so? By way of the resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ, we're going down the corridor. It's an awesome thing. Much more. More and more and more. No, say, no, this is the end. It's the end. No, it isn't the end. It's just the beginning. It's a wonderful time. It's a crisis time. A terrible time. But what a wonderful time to be perky and alive and looked in all the things that cause you to be depressed and discouraged. You're able to look to God and say, God, I'm not a citizen. I'm a citizen. But in Philippians 3, I'm a citizen of heaven now. So I belong to you. I belong to you, God. I'm a stranger and a pilgrim now. God, I'm going home. But here, I'm going to be a witness. Witness of your nail-pierced hands. So that I am able to go, we're able to go, and be a genuine, real, for real understanding, with understanding of the reality of being truly God's and saved. A person, not a theory, and not a bunch of words. Words that are from a person. And the words are living, like John 6:63. The words that I speak unto you are full of life. They're pregnant, pregnant words. That's why we read them. Father and God, we look to you to deal with us. Thank you for caring and loving and helping us get inch by inch along here. Encourage the heart of the people and give them understanding that they would be able to stand. And our God, we're going to thank you for all of it, in all of it, for all of it. Thank you, thank you, thank you very, very much. In Christ's name, amen.